STL Soccer Talk is brought to you by Closets by Design. Update your closet, garage, office, pantry, and more. Imagine your home totally organized with Closets by Design. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of STL Soccer Talk here at stltoday.com and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I am Tom Timmerman, beat writer for St. Louis City with Post-Dispatch, and I am joined, as always, by my genial co-host, Beth O'Malley. Hi, Beth.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm not sneezing, which is what I was doing all day yesterday. I'm surprised that I'm not sneezing because I just came here from watching them rip out the soccer field at City Park.
I doubt there's a lot of pollen on that grass.
You know,
it doesn't go to seed.
Yeah.
So.
Fine. So then I had nothing to do. I was outside for an hour sitting around watching. It's the opposite of St. Paul. It's dull to watch grass grow. But you know what? To watch grass be torn out from the ground, compelling.
So they started tearing out the grass this week. They started on Monday. I kind of would have thought that they would have started last week, Monday, given them another little bit of extra time in there before the next game. But whatever, I'm not the groundskeeper.
Well, City 2 had a game on Friday.
Oh, right.
And so they had to wait for that. And then because of that, they scheduled some events for the weekend.
They let the putts on the field.
Yes.
Because they're not going to use it again.
Because the pets were free to do whatever they wanted on the field on Sunday, and because that grass will not be played on.
Mm-mm.
Monday and Tuesday, the grass comes out, and then Thursday and Friday, the new grass goes in. And I find this fascinating because right now, as we record this on Tuesday morning, I guess, that the grass that is going to be the field is still growing its heart out in North Carolina, unaware of what is about to happen to it. I mean, it's just sitting there, it's in a field, and it's growing away, da-da-da-da-da, and then they're going to come on, and they're going to scoop it up, and they're going to put it in like 40-some-odd refrigerated trucks and drive it out to St. Louis.
And the grass is completely unaware of the trauma it will soon endure.
But you know what? They've got it worked out where the grass trauma is very limited,
mm-hmm,
because it's what they call sod on plastic. So it's actually growing on a layer of plastic so that they don't have to tear out any roots or anything. They can just roll it up and put it on a truck and then planted here, where the roots will then be able to, oh, look at this, we can go as far as we want.
So I don't know how often Busch Stadium kind of, I guess, completely replaces its playing surface. It seems like this is pretty quick to replace the grass in a soccer stadium. But I, again, am not a groundskeeper. my backyard will prove.
Yeah. I'm writing about this for later in the week after they get the new grass in. But apparently the lifespan of this is running out, and they want to be proactive about it and replace it before it gets back. Apparently once it starts going bad, mm-hmm, it goes bad quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they had a gap in the schedule, so it may be a little early, but this was the chance they had to do it.
You said proactive. It's my least favorite word. No, not my least favorite word. It's one of my least favorite words.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Is there a word
I should have used instead of proactive?
They decided to plan ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
They decided to do it before it was absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
They had foresight.
Mm-hmm.
And decided.
So they were proactive.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's stop talking about grass growing because, as interesting as this is,
mm-hmm,
for some of our listeners,
mm-hmm,
well, is it more interesting than another tie?
You know, a tie is like watching grass grow. I don't know. Is that the...
I don't think that's the expression.
That's not the expression.
And it was not an uninteresting game.
No. As we speak on the tail end of another, of tie number six for St. Louis City. They have played 9 games this season, 2 wins, 1 loss, and 6 ties. So fully two-thirds of their season has been a tie game. This one, a 3-3
mm-hmm
tie with
mm-hmm
hated rival Sporting Kansas City.
Do you need to say hated rival? I think rival is enough.
You know, you can be friendly rivals.
This is me being the grammar police, I guess. Mm-hmm. I apologize. Yeah,
I think you can have friendly rivals.
I think you can have. Well, is it a friendly rivalry? No, I don't think it is.
No. Yeah.
So I think Klaus would say it wasn't a foul. It was a friendly rivalry.
He was making a friendly rivalry to get that ball, and he did. Yeah, and so, I mean, 2/3 of their games have ended in ties. Last year,
five ties all season.
Out of 34 games.
We're in trouble.
Which is, so they're ahead of, not only are they ahead of last year's pace, they're ahead of last year's total.
Yeah.
These ties kind of come in all shapes and sizes. And road ties are generally considered a good thing.
And I think the team walked away from this one feeling like it was it was one of those ties that felt like a win. Getting that tying goal in the last minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the players seemed, not I wouldn't say excited, but they seemed energized by it after the game.
Well, certainly when you score a goal in the 92nd minute to get a tie, that gives you a feeling of, you know, some sort of satisfaction. It's much better than like the LA Galaxy game when they gave up the goal in the 93rd minute, I think it was, on that one. And got a tie, but at the same time,
it's an away game. But you were there, and I was not, unfortunately. But it did not necessarily look like an away game. There was a lot of pink in that stand.
There was, but probably not as much pink as the one trip they made last year, the first one that that brought out a lot of people. But there was a healthy. I mean, I don't know if it's 5%, 10% of the fan base there. You can't see the whole stadium, and you're just going on what colors they're mm-hmm. wearing. And if someone decided to wear a white shirt, then you don't know who they're rooting for. But certainly the audio, certainly they you could hear them vocally on it. But it's also a game that if they could, you know, they had a 2-1 lead in the second half,
mm-hmm.
and if they could hang on to that, they would have had, you know, a road win, which is even better than a road tie. So that was, so it was disappointing. And they gave up 3 goals, and you'd never like to give up 3 goals. And, you know, usually if you give up 3 goals in a game, you're going to lose. And at the same time, usually if you score 3 in a game, you're going to win. And they did both and got neither. So it's like you wasted a 3-goal road effort because you didn't win the game.
Right.
Because, I mean, 3-goal, I mean, if I were to sit down and add up every, you know, MLS game for the year, I think you'd find that most of the time when a team scores 3 goals, it wins.
Yes.
And that obviously didn't happen. And so they were ahead. And I think, and Cornell said it after the game, it's just like it's kind of, with the exact word he used, but it was kind of frustrating, or, I mean, he said flabbergasting at one point, that when you play the way you did, and then you have those just mistakes you make that you get punished for, that makes it tough. And they don't want to be a team that gives up 3 goals a game. And what's weird is that, you know, they were not a team that had given up 3 goals a game. They had a team that had posted shutouts in its previous 2 games. Now, one of those is by grace of Berkey, they got a shutout in one of them. And then they were much better in the Austin game.
I like that, by grace of Berkey.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good phrase. It's almost like you work with words.
Yes. considering it as a career. They can be better defensively. And it's another one of those games where Berkey made no saves in the game. And there was, you know, against Austin, he made no saves and got a shutout because they had no shots on goal. So he didn't have to make a save.
Right.
This time he made no saves because Sporting Kansas City had 3 shots on goal in the game, and they all went in.
And
which is not to say they're Berkey's fault. I mean, because they're just, you know, they're shots that, you know, are out of his reach. Now, one of the shots, which was an own goal credited to him, is, and that was a weird one, where he got his hands on it, but, you know, I think he ultimately would have liked to have knocked it over the bar, so it went out of bounds on the side, but it went over his head and then caught the post and went in.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a frustrating finish. And all those goals were in some ways frustrating. I mean, they, you know, on the decisive 3rd goal for Kansas City, or almost decisive, maybe the indecisive goal since it was a tie, that, you know, city's backs are looking. Actually, you could see at the moment that Eric Tommy makes his sprint in that there's a second where the guys are saying, "Isn't he offsides?" And like, no, he's, you know, he's not offsides. We better go after him.
Yeah.
And then they start chasing after him and can't catch up with him. And he goes one-on-one with Berkey and scores.
And Carnell pointed that out as a moment of kind of a lapse in discipline on that back line.
Mm.
Just one of the players was a step behind.
Well, the two outsides were not, yeah.
It was an arc in the wrong direction.
Direction, yes. I was going to say, I don't know that we could determine whether concavity or convexity.
I think it depends on how you're looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. From Berkey's point of view, it would have been concave.
And the other way, it would have been...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a minute since I've taken physics.
Yeah.
That was the part of physics I actually really liked, though, was looking at the things.
The things, yeah. Yeah, concave. It's like a cave, and so it's like the lenses are coming towards
the lenses.
You.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. The lenses.
Lenses, yes.
I have worn glasses since I was about 2 years old. Mm-hmm. So there's something about glasses and obviously lenses that
are those your new glasses?
No, they're still not in.
Still not in. Okay.
Thanks for pointing it out. I'm going to get a call during this podcast. I hope. Call me. Okay. Anyway.
Anyway. So you know they got a point out of it. You know, but they got 6 points.
But they only got a point out of it.
They only got a point out of it.
It's I mean, I feel like next time there's a tie, we should just play back one of our other podcasts and then insert the team name differently every time. There was a tie against Austin. But there were some good things during this game. Klaus scored another run of play goal.
Klaus had a goal, had an assist. Had a shoulder, which is
a decisive shoulder.
In some ways, the two most compelling plays in the game were not the goals that were scored, but it was Chris Durkin's shoulder to get a ball.
It was the shoulders that scored,
and then it was Klaus's shoulder to get the ball.
Yes,
and
there's a great meme now of Klaus shouldering the defender, and then that player sliding across the outside of that stadium and then into a weight room. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. And as Kansas City coach Peter Vermes pointed out after the game, it's like, you know, yes, we thought those were fouls, but at some point when they do it and it's not being called, you have to say, I'm going to do that to them. And we didn't do that to them. You know, they did that to us.
And Klaus was kind of like, that wasn't a foul. It was a play.
And that's where... You know, you get into disagreements on this. I mean, Durkin was there. There were two guys going for the ball. I mean, Klaus covers some distance to get to the guy to knock him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's a question of is Klaus trying to play the ball or is he trying to whack the guy into oblivion and then play the ball?
Well, to play the ball, he had to run that distance anyway.
Yeah. So, and Andrew Wiebe on the Apple TV broadcast and on the MLS website, you know, makes the point that he's, you know, he thinks that it's a definite, you know, he's trying to play the ball and he's going for the ball and that's, you know, it's shoulder to shoulder. And Sasha Kleshton on the wrap up show for MLS and Apple was saying, look, you know, the guy didn't see him coming. If he sees him coming, he turns, so it's not shoulder to shoulder, it's shoulder to back, and then it's a foul. But he didn't know he was coming, and that's why he gets, you know, ends up on Tuesday.
And it's another reason. Yeah, it's another reason why his slide is so spectacular, because he didn't see him coming. He wasn't really, as you said, turning or bracing himself for that impact of the shoulder to shoulder. it's definitely one of those things where it's another example of Klaus's defense becoming the offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, I mean, I wrote about this in the final version of the game story. I mean, Klaus could have had, like, assisted in multiple ways on that goal. I mean, he first gets the ball, wins possession. He then brings it to the middle of the field, where he then passes to Celio Pompeu, where he then makes a run, keeps on going to draw a defender towards him, away from Pompeu, because the defender's thinking, we can't let Klaus go wandering over here by himself, so I got to stick with him.
Right.
And then he points, he tells Celio in Portuguese, go to the middle, go to the center. Pompeu takes a couple steps and then, you know, lasers in a shot into the upper right corner, kind of postage stamped it.
The advantage of speaking Portuguese to a player who, to another player who speaks Portuguese mm-hmm. when the defender cannot speak Portuguese.
Yeah,
I'm assuming.
I got to confess, I did not check the ethnic origin of the Kansas City defense on that play, whether any of them speak Portuguese.
Which is not as unlikely in this league as it would be like if you're walking down the street speaking Portuguese in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, obviously Brazil produces a lot of soccer players, one of the leading exports of Brazil. It's coffee and soccer players. So that was a big play all around by mm-hmm. Because funny, I was talking to Klaus after the game and said, did you promise your wife this time
mm-hmm.
That you're going to score a goal? And he said, no, but you know, before every game, she says, you know, score a goal for me. So I said, maybe I'm ahead one. And maybe I got one in reserve now after this. But, scoring a goal every game is a hard thing to do. But,
it is a hard thing to do. He was on pace for it reasonably mm-hmm. well early last year, mm-hmm. not this year.
Yeah, and but now over the past two games, he is scoring at a goal a game pace.
A game.
And so he's up to three, has taken the team lead.
But then the tying goal comes from the player you want to call Tots.
Player I want to call Spuds.
Spuds. Oh, darn it.
It's funny, within the team, some call them Tots and some call them Totty.
Not a fan of Totty.
Totty, yeah.
No, not my.
So Thomas Todlin.
So Spuds it is.
Spuds. It's real. And a very nice goal from Todlin on that play where, mm-hmm. The ball's, pinging around the midfield and it ends up, actually it ends up coming off a Sporting Kansas City player right to Todlin who's making a run. So if you go back and watch the clip of the goal, the ball is being headed around in the midfield and you can see Todlin, separate from everyone, start to make a run. And with some, soccer's sixth sense that somehow the ball is going to end up, and he times it so that the ball comes off of, a Sporting KC player right to him on the run on the right side. It's like, whoa.
Simultaneously, is he psychic? And that's good soccer sense.
Sense, yeah. And then a Kansas City player tries to make a sliding tackle on it. He flicks the ball ahead, jumps over the guy, doesn't really break stride, catches up with the ball. Touches it once more, and then the next time he touches it, the goalie comes out, boom, and the he goes lower right
mm-hmm.
With it, and it's a tie game. And it's been, we're about goal dedications, Klaus doing it for his wife on her birthday, and Todlin, who got engaged 2 weeks ago, or actually it was probably a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's 2 weeks from today, probably a week and a half when the game was played. And so for his, he dedicated that one to his longtime fiance for scoring that one.
His longtime girlfriend, short time fiance.
Short time, yes, it's true. Now the fiance, but I think 7 years or something they've been together. So.
All right.
Yeah. So it was a big one. Is his first goal
mm-hmm.
In America, a big one. And obviously, it got him a point. And painful because Sporting KC has blown so many leads this year. It has mm-hmm. so many, games. They're now 1, 2, and 3 at home this year with 6 points out of 18 home games.
Yikes!
And I think they've been ahead. In a bunch of them, and not, and not gotten it. So that's a rough one for Kansas City. Not that St. Louis fans will have any sympathy for Sporting Kansas City.
I don't think so.
No. From my experience on the subject, no, they're quite delighted by it. And it's funny. I mean, guys, after talking to guys about physical nature of the game,
yes.
Afterwards, they're saying, well, it's a derby. This is what happens in a.
Well,
in
they
a
say derby. It's a derby.
They say it's a derby.
Can you explain that term?
And as to why it is,
what it means, and why we say it as derby and not.
Well,
derby.
it's an Englishism,
mm-hmm.
And it comes from English soccer, where games played against rivals generally because of proximity are referred to as derbies. So Manchester United versus Manchester City would be the Manchester Derby because they're two, and so if, just when you have two teams that are close to each other for some reason, it becomes a derby. But it's spelled D-E-R-B-Y. And I'm sure it had something to do with the English city of the same name, which probably had a showdown at some point. But it's a rival. What we think of as rivalries in America are called derbies. In England, and then
because England is
because England was able to write down the vocabulary for world soccer. I don't believe in that. I think we're welcome to have whatever words
we want. About to ask because I think what was it that I was saying pitch and you were like it's not a pitch.
It's a field.
It's a field.
Just because the English call
and
it
the players
a field.
Don't put on their boots.
They put on their shoes. And they don't wear kits. I mean, they wear uniforms or jerseys. It's you don't, you know, we get into this thing where it's because so many Americans learned soccer by watching English soccer, by watching broadcasts mm-hmm. of English soccer.
And you'll mm-hmm. see fans, 90-degree weather, holding up their scarves because mm-hmm. that's what they do.
That's what they do. But it's not as though the English have a patent on these things. It's how they speak in England. It's like for them, a vacation is a holiday. I'm going on holiday. We don't say that. We're not obligated to say that. So we can call it a vacation.
But if England literally invented the sport, don't they hold some claim to the terms of the sport?
No, because that's the way they speak. I mean, they spell tire with a Y. I mean, they spell lots of words with an O-U-R
they
at the
color
end.
Color instead of color.
Yeah. Honor with O-U-R. You don't need to do that. And some of these are just because it's the way they talk. In England, well, yeah. A field is a pitch. That's what they call it.
Imagine your home totally organized. Closets by Design is offering 40% off plus an additional 15% and free installation. Schedule your free consultation today. Call 1-800-BY-DESIGN for details. That's 1-800-BY-DESIGN.
We're in America. We don't call fields pitches. We call fields fields. And so we're entitled. Hey, you know, and in Italy, they call soccer calcio, C-A-L-C-I-O. That's and no one thinks the Italians are any less of a soccer-playing nation because of that, because they don't call it soccer or football. You know, it's their language, it's their words. They're entitled to do what they want. And so just because, you know, the English, you know, have a different vocabulary than we do, so they refer to things in certain ways, mm-hmm. and we don't have to do that. So we're entitled to be Americans, and we don't, you know, your spare tire is not in the bonnet of your whatever is the English term, a boot, the boots of your...
I don't take the lift, I take the stairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I did push your button on this one, and I semi-apologize. But I also wanted to give listeners an explanation as to why you see the word derby and hear it derby and what on earth it is. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You're welcome. And now I'll get emails. No, it's
well,
a pitch.
I mean, I think this is another one of those, well, maybe not quite as much as the penalty kicks as a tiebreaker mm-hmm. Arguments that soccer fans have, but it is mm-hmm. how much do we have to be indebted to England mm-hmm. for the terms of the sport or even yeah. the play of the sport?
Yeah, yeah. We fought a war for just this reason, to not have to call, don't have to bow to the king, we don't have to call a field a pitch. Those are two things that I think were very important to our founding fathers.
So they're not replacing the pitch, they're replacing the field.
They're replacing the field.
To bring this entire podcast full circle.
It's a callback,
it's
as
a
we
callback.
Like to say in the business.
Yeah. It's the nice kicker.
Yeah. But we're not done.
We're not done.
We're not done. So because of these, because of all these ties, I mean, City has lost only one game, but they are, you know, in, I think they're tied for seventh in the Western Conference standings mm-hmm. With tiebreakers, which don't really count at this time of year, but they're in ninth. And that's what happens when you play a lot of ties, is that you don't get, you know, they only have one loss.
You can't climb the table with a tie.
They've had points in 8 of 9 games, but mm-hmm. only 2 of them have been wins. And so they got to change that. And
to change that, they enter a bye week.
Yes, so they have next week. So they have time to work on it. But it's funny, as Klaus said after the game, you know, look, you know, these were learning moments for us, but when are we going to learn? We've had these, and these things keep happening. And so we got to be better in those moments. And, sometimes it's the offense has to be better. Sometimes it's the defense has to be better. And that is, you know, one of those, I think, also frustrating things mm-hmm. for Bradley Carnell. I mean, they scored 3 goals. That's more goals than they scored in the previous three games combined.
On the other hand, they allowed
three, which is more they'd scored in the previous 2 minutes or two games combined. It seemed like 2 minutes, but it two games. And so, yeah, you know, they get you ultimately you the offense you look at and say they're scoring goals at a good pace. I mean, they, you know, they've scored, this was the second time this year they've scored three. Mm-hmm. They've scored two on 5 occasions. So, I mean, two or more goals in 7 of 9 games, that's a pretty good output. That's going to win you most games. I mean, two goals is a good number. And
so the scale is leaning toward the defense here.
Yeah, that they, you know, now have allowed 3 goals in a game 3 times. And interesting, only failed to get points in one of those games. They've had 2-3-3 ties. And so they got to get better on that. And it continues to be a case where, you know, the back line is, you know, in chaos. You know, it's different guys.
No, yeah. You know, I don't know that, I mean, I guess chaos feels a lot more... what's the word I'm looking for? Chaos feels like a heavy word for what it is.
Uh-huh.
The back line is in disarray.
Disarray? Maybe. You like that more than chaos?
I feel like chaos is like at a 10 and they're at like a 7.
Well, it lacks consistency.
There we go. Is it definitely lacks that.
So I guess if I'm thinking of chaos is that it's constantly changing.
But it didn't change game to game this week, did it?
It was the exact same lineup
as
it was in the Austin game. And it's the second time this year Carnell has done that. And both of the times he's been very happy with the game before. So he has stuck with the same lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, you know, Markanic, Hebert, Parker, and Totland.
But it's not the preferred lineup. Nielsen didn't start, although he was on the sub list.
And he was good to go. I mean, I talked to him last week and he was thinking he was, you know, probably good for 90. But it was a case where Carnell wanted to stick with the same guys, you know, is to reward them and to have that consistency there from a good unit. And and they allowed, you know, they allowed 3 goals. The first one, you know, Tim Parker makes a pass upfield, which is intercepted. I think he's aiming for Totland and it never got there and it comes back. And then they work a 2-on-1, a give and go, and it ends up with the ball in the net.
Yeah.
The second one is a free kick, which is, you know, you go back to causes before, and you know it's a foul in a bad place that leads to the free kick in a dangerous place. Klaus gets his head on it and knocks it away, but not hard enough for it to go out. And then the Sporting KC guy gets it and from a really tough angle shoots. And you know it's why Klaus afterwards saying, how do you score? You know from that place. And you know Berkey leaps, gets his hands on it, and only manages to deflect it into the net. Yeah, so it's a tough run for these guys, and they have had a number of combinations there. Totland has been the one constant, and they got to get a little. They've got to get settled. They've got to get settled there.
Right.
You know they've got to.
They've got to know that when one player is caught up, another player is sliding over. They have to know how to move based on what's going on the field, and it's trickier to do that.
Yeah, though they still have done that on, you know, ample occasions, you know, where you see the intricacy where, I mean, Kyle Hebert was talking about it last week, where, you know, Parker's out of position, has been, you know, forced out of position at center back, and he moves in, you know, so Hebert moves in, and, you know, one of the outside backs comes in, and they're able to hold the position down until Parker can get back in the play, and it's just a, you know, and that's what you need to be able to do is play in different positions at times because people will be pulled out of position because you have to make a play. And so you go there.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, and you need, the team has to be able to cover in the back.
Yes.
And they have done that and they know how to do it. But in some of these cases in Kansas City, they didn't do that. And so that let them, or they didn't keep a line to keep a guy off sides.
Right.
And so that's something they got to figure out. And it's not like it's been any one guy. It's not like you can say every time it is, you know, player X. I mean, it's been a combination of guys. And
even in the game, it's been like one and then another making a misstep, creating that moment for the other team.
Yeah. And A lot of times, I should say this just as we look at soccer in general, a lot of times you look at the guy who's frantically chasing after the play, trying to catch up, and saying, well, obviously that was his mistake. And that's not the case. You know, he's the guy who is in position to try to cover it, or you know, but someone else can make a mistake somewhere else, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, who made the mistake. He's not necessarily the guy racing after them to try to stop the goal. It's kind of positionally how things work mm-hmm. sometimes. Say that in defense of guys chasing after plays. That's not a sign of guilt right there. The mistake has been made somewhere else on the field.
Is holding your head the sign of guilt?
That can be a, yes, that can be something. It's another game in which they could have gotten 3 points out of that one. They were there for the taking, and they felt good about it. But it's hard to feel, you know, when you've had a game where you were in the lead, and they were in control of that game for long stretches of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they did pretty well, even if they didn't have possession as much. But they were in control, and they limited what Kansas City could do. But when Kansas City got the ball and could do things, they scored goals, and that's...
It's what we've seen over and over again, that the team is, when they do give up those moments, the other side is able to capitalize on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is kind of, I guess, a tricky problem to solve, because you can't look at just one player. You can't look at just one line. There's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
But what that is, it's harder to diagnose. It's harder to coach against.
Yeah. Yes, very true. I mean, they are, you know, plugging holes, you know, at very here. So they got to figure that out.
They got to run out of fingers.
Yes, yeah. Sam Adeniran still was not with the team. They resume practice this week on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he is back out there. If he has gotten back in their good graces. If they are is ready to go, or if this time in limbo for him stretches on longer.
You were telling me after the podcast last week about some MLS rules about player access.
You know, just if the player is practicing, they are available to the media,
right?
After practice. So Adeniran not practicing with the team, hence has not been available. So we haven't had a chance to hear from him,
right?
So we'll see if he's back this week. When they resume practice, you know, it's a tough situation. Obviously, I mean, you know, without saying specifically, I mean, Carnell has talked about how, you know,
they want players to empty the tank,
empty the tank, and go all out. And so, obviously, the inference being that they haven't gotten that from Adeniran, and so he's been working out separately. And now, if they see he's doing that, he'd be back in, and you know, that would be his chance to get back in there, you know, without him, you know, and they've only been going with one forward lately anyway,
mm-hmm.
but it's given Nukvi Thorsson a chance to play, who played a fair amount, who played probably as much as he's played all year, other than the one game he started at the beginning of the season. And, you know, again, looked well. He was involved in that last possession where the ball gets to Todlin for the goal, where it bounces off a lot of people. But yeah, you know, Thorsson is a guy who is going to kind of get that chance right now, and you know, hasn't happened yet. But they are, you know, striker wise. I mean, and Klaus is at a point where he's going 90 minutes.
He is,
and so that has somewhat minimized the need here, because if Klaus can go 90 minutes and is doing really well in 90 minutes, I mean, he's playing defense very strong. He's getting involved, obviously, in all sorts of ways. I mean, Klaus has been invaluable over the past few games, so that's kind of minimized the need. But in the long run, they're going to need all the strikers
they can get,
and that still is to many seen as the main thing. The MLS transfer window closes Tuesday, some point Tuesday. And obviously, they're not bringing in another player, because Luis Fanciel prefers the summer transfer window to get players. He thinks you can get better players then. So, you know, but that is, everyone sees as what they need to get.
Right.
Is that they need to bring in, you know, attacking players.
Right.
An attacking player. that will be their main focus in the next transfer window.
So because they haven't been practicing, you don't really have many injury updates or Leuven updates.
No, Leuven, Carnell expanded on it just to say that there's an illness in his family, which is why he's been away from the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of out of, there and his control as to when he comes back. If you're dealing with an ill family member, it's kind of...
It can be very tricky.
Yeah. And so, with the passage of time, you hope that brings closer to the person feeling better and him coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another thing that we'll find out on Wednesday when practice resumes.
So what is the plan on the bye week? Practice starts again on Wednesday, and I believe Carnell mentioned a scrimmage.
They will scrimmage with City 2, which is also off this week.
Mm-hmm.
So they will play a closed-door scrimmage on Saturday at the practice center, because obviously they're putting in new grass at the stadium, so they can't play it there. But they'll get them on the field and get out there on that day. So,
and then next week will be kind of a traditional Tuesday
game
practice.
Tuesday, yes.
Right.
As they take on Houston for the third time this season. So it's they're very familiar the second time. And though the last time they were in Houston, not a game they were fond of.
Not
a game that is looked back on.
No. Which might give them some incentive to do better this next game.
Yeah. The Western Conference is up in the air enough that City has not fallen that far out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may now be 6 points out of first place, and they're still in a playoff spot. So it's right there, because no one in the West has asserted themselves like City did last year. And said, we're winning the first five and we're running away.
Run the table.
No one is doing that this year. So it's a good situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And, and Sporting KC's got five ties. I mean, the ties have been in abundance this year. I mean, this is, especially in the Western Conference, it's a conference of parity.
So are the ties a good thing? I mean, because it doesn't seem like they're a good thing to satisfy a fan base, an American fan base.
They are not. They are, and I think you have to say road ties are, they can live with those.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Now, if they had gotten the points on the road from two of them where they were ahead, from both the Galaxy game and the Sporting KC game, if they had held on for those, I mean, now you're talking about they're being in the, third or fourth in the conference. So that would be a big deal, a big difference there. So when you look at points that they have lost that they could have had, those are the ones you really want to have. I mean, there are some games in which you were fighting back the whole way. And so if you got 1 point out of that, out of fighting back, okay, that's a good point. But I think at some level, they're saying, there are points that are going, they're being left on the table for this team.
So even though KC may have felt a little bit more like a win than a losing tie, wasn't quite as optimistic in hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the players felt that way. I mean, there was like, okay, we got a point out of it, but they could have gotten more out of it. So on that note, support local journalism. Subscribe first to this podcast, because then you'll always know when we've done something. You'll be the first to know.
Mm-hmm.
You can brag to all your friends, but subscribe to the Post-Dispatch, stltoday.com. Lots of stuff, not just all the soccer news you could want to have, but everything else. And the fine soccer or fine sport
and news
cornucopia that is life in St. Louis. Anything else, Beth?
I think that's it.
So for Beth, for Gary spinning the dials, I'm Tom. Until next week, be seeing you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.